Welcome to Does the Team Think? With Ted Ray, Arthur Askey, Cardi Robinson, and the man who hatched up the idea, Professor Jimmy Edwards. Team, here comes a question put to you by Mr. C. Laurie. Hello, Mr. Laurie. Your question, please.
On the absolute assurance that he would not be found out, what crime, if any, would each member of the team commit?
On the absolute assurance that he would not be found out, what crime, if any, would each member of the team commit?
Well, I'd like to sneak into Woolworths and shout, Marks and Spencers!
But the thing is, I would like to change the news, to sneak into Broadcasting House when no one was looking and do the news live. Now, you can imagine all these people sitting in cars going to work and the ladies getting up to do their housekeeping after a hot night. And I would say, and here is the news. The Isle of Wight has declared war on Russia. All drinks in pubs will be free from now on. You can imagine the rush for opening time.
The wearing of
men's trousers is illegal.
Cardi Robinson.
Thank you. Well, my crime is a very simple one, really. I would like to knock off the crown jewels.
I would, yes.
You're too old to knock off anything else.
And thank you.
A few addresses and prove you wrong.
And when they'd given up, I'd like to send them a letter from my agent saying, Cardi Robinson did this and he's available for royal weddings.
If one has to play along with this question, I wouldn't mind secreting myself in the dressing room at a strip club to see what the girls look like with clothes on.
Oh, yes.
Actually, I'd like to be a great train robber, you know. I always like to knock off a great train.
I was speaking to a chap the other day who was a guard.
He doesn't care who he talks to.
On one of these money vans, you know.
Security or something.
Security call. There's not advertising because they do a great job. Those fellows are very brave. And this fellow was saying that he saw the smash and grab done in Regent Street when they backed an elephant through a jeweller's window. And during the inquiry...
Yes?
During the inquiry, they said, well, what kind of an elephant was it? He said, well, an elephant is an elephant, isn't it? And they said, oh, no. He said, in Africa, the elephants are very small. And in India, they're very, very large. What kind of elephant was it? He said, well, I don't know, because it had a silk stocking on its face.
Oh, dear! I'll tell you what, Jack. It must have been Trunk. Trunk and disorderly.
But you see, the woman who came home one day, the man came home very late, and the woman said to him, God, I'm glad you came home at last. We just had a burglar. So he said, really, did he get anything? She said, I say he did. I thought it was you.
Thank you very much, sir. Thank you, Mr. Laurie. Thank you very much. Thank you. Team, this question comes to you by courtesy of Miss Patricia Hodge. Hello, Miss Hodge. What's your question, please?
Did members of the team ever think of a medical career? And if so, what would they have done?
Did members of the team ever think of a medical career? And if so, what would they have done?
Can we have your phone number, please? Well, I couldn't be a doctor. I mean, it kills so many illusions. I mean, you get a lovely girl comes in to your surgery and says, I've got this, that or the other. It's usually the other. And
not at first.
You have to say to her, well, take your clothes off and put them next to mine. And... And start from there, you see. I couldn't do that, could you?
Well, it's like the woman who went in with her daughter and this dear old lady and this beautiful dolly bird. The doctor looked at this dolly bird and said, right, take all your clothes off. And the mother said, no, it's me. It's all right, stick your tongue out.
Ted Ray.
Well, I think I'm going to change my doctor. He's an awfully nice chap, but... And my wife is not the calmest person in the world. She goes round to the doctor. She wasn't feeling very well. And he looked at her and said, open your mouth and say moo.
I get it.
Do you know, I went to see the doctor the other day and he says, you know, what you've got to do, he says, is drink about 4 quarts of water and stay in bed all day. You can't do it.
Now, the fellow went into a doctor. He said, what's your trouble? He said, well, I keep thinking I'm a dog. So the cellar said, all right, get on the couch. He said, I'm not allowed on the couch.
I tell you what, it's very interesting sometimes to walk down Harley Street and Wimpole Street where all these doctors and people, surgeons, where they abide. And they all leave the stethoscopes on the seat, you know, so that the police will know that they are doctors. And one fellow who wasn't a doctor left his car there with his stethoscope on the seat. And when he came back, there was a pair of handcuffs next to him.
Miss Hodge, are you connected at all with the medical profession?
Yes, I'm a nurse.
Oh, here. Ah. Well, I've suddenly taken a turn for the nurse. Yeah.
This is where I say it would be wonderful to be nursed by you, and you say it would be a miracle I'm a maternity nurse.
What sort of... She won't bother. What sort of ward are you in, Miss Hodge?
At the moment, a surgical ward.
Oh, Lord.
Surgical ward.
Taking off...
Nice chap. I knew him very well. I think that the psychiatrists have the best of it because they don't have to use any weapons, and they get the most interesting patients. Now, this fellow walks into the psychiatrist, and the psychiatrist said to him, now, tell me, what seems to be your trouble, knowing there was 30 quid in the kitty already, you see. I mean, lovely life. And this fellow said... Well, he said, I'm very worried. He said, I'm a very successful businessman. He says, but I just can't seem to get on with anybody. And the psychiatrist said, how long has this been going on? He said, what's it got to do with you, you big fat pig?
Of course, being a doctor, you've got to serve your apprenticeship. There was a young doctor. He was going to join a practice, so the elder doctor took him round with him. And the first place they went to, the elder doctor looked at the man in bed and he said, one thing you've got to do is cut out smoking. So when they got outside, the young doctor said, how did you know that fella smoked? He said, I could see all the cigarette ends under the bed. So they went to the next house. This was a woman lying in bed, very fat woman. And he said, you've got to cut out eating too many sweets. So when they got outside, the young doctor said to the old doctor, how did you know she had a lot of sweets? He said, I saw all the wrappers under the bed, all the toffee wrappers. So they went to the next place, and there was a woman lying in bed and looked very agitated. And the old doctor said, you must give up church activities if you want to get better. So when they got outside, the old doctor said to the young doctor, how did you know that she took care of church activities? He said, well, I dropped my stethoscope, and when I looked under the bed, I saw the vicar there.
Thank you very much, team, and thank you, Miss Hodge. Thank you very much. Mr. John Swiffin, welcome to the programme. What's your question?
What special items of rubbish would members of the team expect to find in each other's dustbins?
What special items of rubbish would each member of the team expect to find in each other's dustbins?
Cardew, I should think, is golf clubs. Why? Having seen him play, well, he can't go on like that. And Arthur, I think, being so small, a Reader's Digest. Jimmy, being a bachelor, a lot of badly cooked food. I happen to know that in Stag Place, where he lives,
don't tell
he's got the only
that.
Dustbin with ulcers. And, of course, mine would be the not here gag in Sanskrit.
I think in Ted, we'd find some old fiddles. In Jim's,
we'd
find...
Old fiddles? Yeah. There's money in old fiddles.
You're right. Jim's, we might find some of Jim's filthy old riding habits. And in Arthur's, we'd probably find Arthur.
Well, who would have chucked me away?
Well, it saved going upstairs.
I'm 73, but there's a lot of good light in me yet.
Arthur, we'd come every day, lift the lid up and feed you, don't worry.
You would, eh?
Yes, definitely.
Mr. Swiffin, are you a tidy-minded person? Do you throw things away?
Yes.
What do you think the team would throw away, then?
I thought Arthur Askey probably have a half a dozen cast-off playmates.
Oh, I never cast off my playmates. They still love me.
He's got all the playmates in the world.
And?
Jimmy Edwards, I think he'd probably have a copy of last week's edition of Spiritual Fulfilment.
I like it.
You've got a copy with you.
I tell you... Oh.
I think we haven't got to Cardew yet, have we?
Well, Cardew Robinson, I, by looking at him again, it seems that he can't afford to throw anything away.
I tell you what, Cardew,
my agent.
Cardew hasn't got a dustbin. He broadcasts his rubbish.
Cardew Robinson is one of those very fortunate people who eats like a horse and never puts on an ounce in weight. I was down with him at Southend the other week, and two little Winkles went by, and one looked at Cardew and said, "Look out, fellas, back in your shells, here's a hairpin."
Funnily enough, in the establishment to which Mr. Ray refers, where I live, we don't have dustbins, actually. We have a thing called a chute, because I'm very high up, about the 14th floor, and you open a little door, and you shove the stuff through into this, and then you shut it, and you hear it going, ting, 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 tong, tong, ting, 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 ting.
Now, just a moment, I didn't get that. How's it go?
It goes...
Orchestrated.
Clunk. And you hear somebody say, "Here's another lot come down, Jim."
And you're on the top floor, aren't you, Jim?
Well, aren't you fortunate? I mean, I do deplore these terrible plastic bags lying all over the pavements, you know.
I've seen you out with them.
Give me the old-fashioned... Give me the old-fashioned dustbin where you could pick up a sandwich or something. And a few old baked beans when you were hungry.
And I'll tell you another thing. When this stuff does eventually reach the cleansing department's hands, I think it's now called the cleansing department.
Oh, yes, dustmen are cleansing operatives.
That's right. They now have most extraordinary lorries which sort of pulverise it and push it about and stick it up each other and everything.
And is that what Mr. Lorry does?
No, and it groans.
Yeah.
7 o'clock in the morning, you'd think all that rubbish was alive.
Aren't you glad you're not in it?
Well, I was one morning.
Chopped ham.
I had a hell of a job to get out before they squashed me.
Thank you very much, team, and thank you, Mr. Swimming. Thank you. And now, ladies and gentlemen, it is time to meet our special guest, a man very much associated with comedy, first as writer, now as performer. A warm welcome for John Junkin. Welcome to the program, John. And now, John, what is your question?
Have you ever had a funny thing happen to you on your way to the theatre?
Have you ever had a funny thing happen to you on the way to the theatre?
Well, never, until tonight. And a very funny thing happened tonight. I was coming along to this lovely theatre where we're recording this programme, deep in the heart of London, and a fellow stopped me in the street, and he said to me, "Mr. Ray, have you a moment?" So I said, "Yes." And he pulled up his trouser leg, took off a brass ring, and said, "My name is Pigeon. I have a message for you."
Very good, Ted. That was a I remember years ago, Ted arriving at a theatre on a Monday morning for a bank call, and he threw his books down like we all did in the old days. You used to put your music down in front, whether you were the star or whether you were the acrobats. You had to take your turn, you see. And Ted was a bit late arriving, and he was the last one there, and he just started to rehearse, and the manager came around and said to Ted, "You're not booked here this week." He said, "Yes, I am." He said, "No, you're not booked here this week." Ted said, "Oh, God." He said, "Well, would you mind if the band played my music? I haven't heard it for 6 months." That right, Ted?
Oh, they were very hard times, yes. I remember that.
I had rather, I would say, a funny, peculiar thing happened today, because I couldn't come by car, the rolls was laid up. I was standing at a bus stop and...
Strangulation of the mortgage, it was going on.
A double-decker bus came along, and just as this double-decker bus reached the bus stop, the fellow next to me took out his glass eye, which until that moment I wasn't aware that he'd got...
It came out in conversation.
Exactly. And he bounced it hard on the pavement, and it shot up in the air. So I'm not normally an inquisitive fellow, but I couldn't help it. I said, "Why did you do that?" He said, "I wanted to see if there's any room on top."
So worrying.
Jimmy, anything funny ever happened to you on the way to the theatre?
Well, funnily enough, Mr. Junkin has sparked a memory of something... which is absolutely true, which had happened to me on the way to the theatre in Oxford, actually. Eric Sykes and I were appearing in Oxford in the first tour of Big Bad Mouse.
Yes. That's been going on for a long time.
It's a long time.
And Big Bad Rat.
I said to Eric, "Well, listen, I'm flying to Oxford. I had a little aeroplane in those days." "Well, you can't fly without them."
You do all right on your bruise.
Makes your arms tired.
I had a little single-engine aeroplane, and I said to Eric, now, I'm flying to the polo ground at Cowdrey for a match this afternoon, yes. And then we'll fly to Oxford. So I picked Eric up at Fair Oaks, went to the polo ground, played the match, and then we took off for Oxford, and the curtain was up at about 7:30. 6 o'clock we took off, and it got very dark, and it rained a lot.
Yes.
So I called up control, so I saw a river going by underneath, 800 feet in heavy rain, and the fellow says, I said, can you give me a course to see? And he said, well, he's on holiday, that one, that fellow. He said, he's not here.
Is he in Manchester?
So anyway, after a bit, we were still flying along, and Eric said to me, what's that town over there?
Yes.
And I said, that's definitely Didcot. I said, that's Didcot.
Didcot?
I said, I got my map out and said, that's Didcot. And Eric turned to me and says, well, it's got a hell of a lot of colleges in it. Right over the middle of Oxford.
Well, I'll tell you a true story about arriving at the Palladium.
This was true.
I was playing the Palladium, and I was playing Dame in pantomime, and they asked me would I go and entertain some kids on the other side of the river who were having a tea party, orphans or something. So I went over, and I thought it would be a novelty to go in my Dame outfit. So I went as Widow Twankey, and I cracked a few gags for the kids and sang them a few songs.
Lovely.
And on my way back, I drank a lot of cups of tea while I was there. You know, I kept swinging tea, and I realised halfway across I wasn't going to make it to the Palladium because I wanted to pay the water rates, you know. So when we got to Leicester Square, I asked the driver of the car, I said, will you pull up here? I want to nip down. So I went down the gentleman's in my Dame outfit, and there was an attendant in a white coat standing at the bottom. He said, not this side, auntie.
Can I give you a very...
Hang on a sec, Ted.
Can I give you a very serious answer to this?
I want to ask John.
I'm sorry, all right.
John.
I could listen to them all night.
I know, but we'd like to listen to you for a moment. What about you? Something funny must have happened to you in your career.
One funny thing happened to me on the way to the theatre, and I was late. I was desperately late, and I was rushing to get there in time, and a very large lady stopped me, and they're always large, and they always stand right in front of you, don't they?
Yeah.
So I said, what is it, love? She said, did you know you were taller off television than you are on it? And I said, why don't you adjust the vertical hold? And she said, I never thought of that, and went away. Quite happy.
Thank you very much, team, and thank you, John Junkin. Thank you very much, John. I wonder how you pronounce V-E-R-H-A-E-G-H-E.
Verheig.
Verheig. Yes. Well, Mrs. Anne Verheig, what's your question?
Does the team agree that the way to a man's heart is through his stomach? And if so, what meal turns them on?
Does the team agree that the way to a man's heart is through his stomach? And if so, what meal turns them on? Jimmy Edwards.
The one meal that turns me on, in fact, switches me on, because it's the first of the day, is breakfast. I mean, I look back on the days when I could take a big breakfast. These days I'm supposed to be dieting, so I don't. But those old-fashioned breakfasts, which you should start with porridge, you know, just a large plate of porridge.
Is this going to be a cereal?
And then you...
Bon mot.
And then you'd have maybe just a little plate of kidneys with grilled bacon.
For breakfast?
Maybe a little fish first, actually.
Fish
with
first?
With sausages and a little steak.
My.
And
oh.
And then piles of toast and to follow with marmalade and coffee and cream. That would turn me on, and I'd be ready for anything.
Yeah, by the time you've finished, it's time for supper.
I should think if you had that lot, you'd need to take something else to turn you on.
I don't know about food. The terrible thing about the early married days, I don't know about Arthur and Card and Jim, but the early thing is, it's a terrible thing to have to get used to the cooking of an inexperienced wife. Now, you've seen each other across a crowded room, the eyes flash, and you think, that's for me. And this was it with Sybil and me. We went to a YMCA dance. And there she was, and when I saw this bonnet on her, she was with the Salvation Army at the time.
So you kicked her tambourine?
Well, eventually, yes. But, you know, she came in on the very first day after we came back from our honeymoon. It was lovely in Cleethorpes. It was lovely anywhere. And she came in and she put on this thing on the table. And she said,
what
I must tell you... Well, this dish.
Oh.
I must tell you, Ted, she said, I must tell you, Ted, there are only two things I can really cook. One is macaroni pie and the other is apple charlotte. So I tasted it and said, which one is this?
Arthur Askey.
Thank you, Mac.
Not at all.
Well, I don't know. I mean, I was once taken out to a meal with a lady, by a lady. She said to me, you can order what you like. So the waiter came over and I said, have you got a wild duck? And he said, no, but I've got a tame one I can aggravate.
Can't you?
Well, I think if you're going to have a meal that turns you on, why not a honeymoon salad? Just lettuce alone, not dressing.
I would like to ask our questioner if she's a... Are you a good cook yourself?
Well, I like to think so.
Well, what sort of things would you cook for the team if you had to?
Our goose, I should think.
Well, Cardi Robinson, I would think, would like spaghetti because it's long and thin like he is.
Somebody told a friend of mine that the only way to find out if spaghetti is cooked is to throw it to the ceiling, and if it sticks there, it's ready. So they threw it up, and it stuck there, and they never ate it.
The loveliest chandelier in the country.
Right, let's have some more dishes for the team.
Arthur Askey, I should think shrimps, because he is one already.
He is one.
Very good. Shrimps.
I appreciate that.
You know about his sex life? He's the amorous prawn.
And Ted Ray, because he's such a part of British tradition anyway, would be the traditional roast beef and Yorkshire pudding.
Am I really part of the British tradition?
And he's got the horseradish sauce on his head. That's really lovely. Thank you very much.
And what about Jim?
Jimmy Edwards is definitely oysters and stout. Probably stout without the oysters, but definitely oysters and stout.
Listen, darling, you pick the food, I'll pick the drink.
I would always have oysters to start. If you're taking me out, start me with oysters. Because oysters are marvellous. It's like the young couple who got married. And this fellow was a bit nervous, you see. And he was talking to his pal. His pal said, well, look, on the honeymoon night, you have a dozen oysters. It'll make all the difference. So he did. Anyway, they met a few days later, and his pal said to him, how'd you get on the honeymoon? Did you have a dozen oysters? He said, yes. Only eight of them took.
Thank you very much, team, and thank you, Mrs. Anne Lehigh. Thank you very much.
This is your friend, Mrs. Jessett.
Mr. John D. Jessett, welcome to the programme. What's your question?
If asked to devise a new daily radio serial to feature all four of them as regular characters, what subject would the team weave it around?
If asked to devise a new daily radio serial to feature all four of them as regular characters, what subject would the team weave it around?
Well, I think it'd be rather fun if we were a string quartet.
Good idea, Jim.
We could be the Amadeus, the story of the Amadeus string quartet. Cardi would be the violin, and I think Arthur would have to be the violin, and you'd be the viola, Cardi, and you would be the cello, the one that gets between people's legs all the time.
I play the violin rather well.
Well, I know, but we can't all play... All right, you play the violin. I don't care.
I would simplify this. We would be something that's... an improvement on what's gone in the past.
Like,
we've had the Three Musketeers. We'd be the Four Musketeers. Well, Athos, Porthos, Jockstrap and Aramis. And who do you think will be playing Jockstrap?
The one
with the Scottish blood on my left. Outside.
You don't need Jockstrap. There's the Three Musketeers and D'Artagnan.
D'Artagnan, that's right.
Which I would play.
Yes.
I was just thinking, it all depends on the locale in which this serial... It doesn't have to be on radio. It could, Mr. Jessett, I believe, with your kind permission. He's nodding sagely. Not too hard, your head will fall.
Hi, sagely.
No. But it could be TV as well, couldn't it?
Yeah. Yeah.
The background is the important thing. Where is the show taking place? I'd like it to be set in a brewery. I'd like it to be set in a brewery, and I'd like to have to be sent early in the series to get the background material, you see, and get the atmosphere and everything.
Are you going to have it fed intravenously?
No, and I would be the taster, you see. My part, you'd be the managing director, and you fellows would have a part, but I'd be the beer taster.
He'd drink his way out of the vat.
Well, give me time.
Maybe Mr. Jessett's got some ideas on this. Have you, Mr. Jessett?
Yes.
Oh, you have? Good. What are they?
I'm glad the professor said on television, set it in a hotel... Mr. Edwards is a congenial host.
Nice timing.
The other three could be what in the continent is called a scramble orchestra. We call them the scrambled orchestra. Ted Ray on violin, Arthur Askey on the accordion, and Cardew Robinson with his height could play the double bass without even having to sit down.
Do you think they'll buy this? I'd like to take it.
It's your turn now.
Yeah. We could have the four horsemen of the eucalyptus. Three of us on horses and Arthur on a little Shetland pony.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much. And there, I'm afraid, we must close Does the Team Think for today. On behalf of Jimmy Edwards, Ted Ray, Arthur Askey, Cardi Robinson, and our producer, Edward Taylor, and our thanks, of course, to all our questioners and our special guest, John Junkie. This is McDonald Hobley saying goodbye to you all. Goodbye.